I get more and more nervous every time I preach, and that is really annoying to me, but at the same time, it's very, very helpful because it keeps me reliant on God. So I sat there in my chair, moving my leg up and down. It was looking like I was probably trying a few dance moves, but actually I was feeling really, really nervous. And I feel nervous because I think that the subject I want to talk on is really, really important, and a subject that perhaps we don't always look at, and it's the subject of the Holy Spirit. And I've been given the title this morning, Who is the Holy Spirit? And what I wanted to do was to do a straight preach. No PowerPoint, no clips, no gimmicks. And that's quite unusual for me, so I feel extra nervous because I like to use PowerPoint and clips and things, and I think it's helpful. But this morning, I want to use quite a lot of the Bible, some Bible verses about the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is an equal person of the Trinity. I want to start this morning by saying that the Holy Spirit is more than a force. If you believe that, you've missed out on so much. Does the Holy Spirit just make me shake? Does he just make me cry? Does he just make me fall over and give me little tingles? Now, I'm not downplaying those experiences because some of us have got really close to God when we've felt those experiences, but the Holy Spirit is so much more. He is so much more than a force, than a power that travels through you. He's God. He's equally God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe as a church. They are all equal. It's not just this force that travels through me. He's more than someone who's just random. He's always been. He was there from the very beginning of creation, hovering over the waters. He was instrumental in creation, the very breath of God. We live because of him. The breath in us, we live because of him. He's the triune God, along with Father and Son. We were but dust, but our life came through the breath of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they created us. The perfect family of beings. A family that were one God. So much a family that they were one. And they said to each other, let us create man in our image. There was a conversation that took place. Let us create man in our image. You'll find that in Genesis. Can you remember these words? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know those verses from the book of Matthew, probably spoken over you at your baptism. Did you realise it was the name, not the names? I baptise you in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. One. Baptise you in that one name. Just because he hasn't got a body, and we call him Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean he hasn't got a personality. He has got a personality. Just like Jesus has numerous names that point towards who he is, like the Good Shepherd, for example, like Brian read out earlier, the Holy Spirit has numerous names. Let me rattle off a list of his names. These were just some that I could think of. The Spirit, okay, that's an obvious one. The Spirit of God, okay, another obvious one. The Spirit of Christ, yeah. The wind, the breath, the spirit of life, the spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit of promise, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of judgment, the spirit of burning, the spirit of truth, the spirit of wisdom, the oil of gladness, the spirit of grace, the spirit of glory, the eternal spirit, the convictor, the comforter, the teacher, the guide, the helper, The finger of God, the fire, the deposit, the blessing, the dove, the fountain, the living water, the rain, the guarantee. And that's just literally a few. Just a few. There are loads. That's more than a force. A comforter is more than a force. Let's look at a few passages in the Bible that point toward his personality. The Holy Spirit can actually feel. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be lied to. Let's look at Ephesians 4, starting at verse 28. Oh, it's nice and quiet, isn't it? Oh, just take it in. Lovely. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hand for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everyone you say be good and helpful. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. How can you bring sorrow to a force? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 16. Still hear that rustling, so I'll let you get there. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Then it goes on, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. Do not quench the Spirit. He can be quenched. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is always one that's a little bit scary. I remember reading this a few times and think, if I lie, am I going to drop down dead? Well, maybe, I hope not. Gosh, I would have dropped down dead a few times already. Okay, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? And then it goes on and eventually he drops down dead. But the Holy Spirit can be lied to. That's a person, isn't it? It's not a force. Quenched, grieved, bring sorrow to, lie to. Maybe the biggest way we grieve the Holy Spirit is to treat him as impersonal. Maybe that's the biggest grief he receives. And we're all guilty of it, aren't we? We're all guilty of it. Listen to this. Listen to the grace that every now and again we'd quote to one another that comes from the book of Corinthians. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship. You mean fellowship? You mean communion with, talking to, relating to, listening to? Fellowship, isn't that an interesting word? And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you fellowshipped with the Holy Spirit? Not just feel me, or when was the last time you fellowshipped, chatted to? It's a challenge, isn't it? Let's go to John chapter 14, starting at verse 15. So I'm not downplaying experiences of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we do cry, sometimes we do shake, but it's the experience of a person, not a force. Okay, John 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another because Jesus was the first one, and another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. It's really powerful. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Let's turn to John chapter 16. I told you I was going to be reading a lot of the Bible, starting from verse 7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. I mean, you're joking. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his disciples and he's saying to them, it's for your good that I go away. How can that even be possible? Don't you often think, oh, if I just had Jesus, everything would be okay. If he was just here with me now, we'd be all right. Actually, it's for your good that he went away. Because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father, and so on and so on. Jesus says he will send an advocate, a helper. You disciples, you've fellowshipped with me on earth. Now fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because I'm going up to heaven with the Father. I'm sending you another helper, an advocate, to fellowship with you on the earth. I'm sure Brian, with his Greek, he would come up here and say, well, actually, when it says advocate, or when it says helper, or when it says counsellor, in the Greek, it means so much more than that, doesn't it, Brian? Where are you? Oh, shall I put you on the spot and tell us about paraclete?
That means someone
called alongside. So it's this alongside presence, so much more than just a helper or an advocate. Someone who travels alongside. I mean, he's right there. You can touch him. And he's not just right there. He's right there. I will be with you and in you. Stuart's freaking out, weren't we, last night? We were talking, I shouldn't really confess this, but the film Alien, and he was like, what, have I got an alien inside me? Like, what do you mean I can have someone living inside me? And I've been thinking about that a little bit extra recently, because we've had this really proud news, Joey and I, that she's got a little bun in the oven. And she's actually now, she's got someone living inside her. It's actually possible. You can have someone living inside you. You can have the Holy Spirit living inside. I will be with you and in you. So we can't no longer say, if only Jesus would be here, it would be okay. The promise is, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send a helper to be with you. Listen to this quote. When we think of the Holy Spirit, he seems to be so far away. But when we think of Parakletos, or to be in plain English, the stand-byer or the partaker, how near is he? Up to this time that Jesus made this promise to the disciples, he himself had been their stand-byer, their partaker. When they were in an emergency or a difficulty, they turned to him. On one occasion, for example, the disciples were in doubt as to how to pray, and they turned to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord taught them the wonderful Lord's Prayer that's come down through the ages. On another occasion, Peter was sinking in the waves of Galilee, and he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him and saved him. In every extremity, they turned to him. Just so now that Jesus has gone to the Father, we have another person, just as divine, just as equal, just as great, just as glorious, just as wise as he is, just as strong, just as loving, as tender as he is, and just as ready as he is. Just as ready. Right there. Right there. The Holy Spirit. I think many of us, myself included, I think, am I allowed to talk to him? I mean, is it okay? Is it okay to talk to him? Somehow, for me, it's okay to talk to the Father. And it's okay to talk to Jesus. But can I talk to the Holy Spirit? I mean, that's weird. It seems like it's a Christian taboo. Am I allowed a relationship with him? We almost like look around and wonder what others are thinking if we pray Holy Spirit, or if we ask the Holy Spirit, or if we fellowship with him, we're almost looking around. Have I said the right thing? I mean, this is God. He's relatable. Why then would we not fellowship with him or be scared to do that? Do we really believe he's a ghost? I mean, that's archaic. It's ridiculous. Would we believe he's a ghost? Do we have, if you honestly look at yourself and ask yourself, do you have a preferred member of the Trinity to relate to? What are you like? Look inside yourself. He will be with you and in you. I mean, that is extraordinary. The joy of being a Christian. He's our strength. Let me tell you a little story about this girl. I think this is in one of John Ortberg's book, but there was an empty jam jar sat at the table one time, and this mum and her daughter were having dinner. And daughter said to mum, "Mum, is God everywhere all at once?" And mum said, "Yes." So the daughter picked up the lid, slammed it on the jam jar and said, "I've got God in that jar then." And then the book went on to illustrate, well, no, she didn't have God in the jar. God's everywhere all at once. But what the book missed out was, she did have God in the jar. Because God is everywhere all at once. God was in the jar. We're the jar. He's in us and outside of us. He's everywhere all at once. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. So why is it a distance? Why is it like we're talking to someone and sometimes we look up, don't we? Why not look in? He's living inside you. Why not chat to him? Why not make your Christianity more real? You know, other countries in the world do it. We're just English and we're a bit weird. We're weird, aren't we, Terry? What about sin? We've got this relationship with sin, haven't we? We're like, I hope I don't get caught. I guess you get caught every time with the Holy Spirit, don't you? Because he's inside you. You have to do away with the question, can I do what can I do to get away with? Don't we? We can't get away with anything. Not if he's living inside us. So all those secret sins, they're not really secret. They're right there. It was a great day that I realised God was my Father. It was a great day I realised that Jesus was his Son and he gave his life for me. And it was a great day that I realised that God could live in me. It was a great day. We are not left with the second best now Jesus is gone. The Holy Spirit is not the second best. He's not down in the pecking order. And if he was, it would be because he's preferring one another, because they do this crazy thing where they're always preferring one another, so you never quite know what's going on. But he's actually not down in the pecking order. We can never focus on the Holy Spirit too much. It's impossible. He's God. Okay, as we're just kind of winding up to an end, Sophie's going to come and share a little testimony, because it's also much me sharing words, but what about experience of the Holy Spirit? What about the person living inside us? There we go. Oh, I've got this little thing.
Oh, okay. No. Hello. Gary asked me last week, at this, like last week's service, if I could share a testimony. And three examples came to mind regarding the Holy Spirit. And the first one is him as a comforter in my personal life. And not many of you know this, but from 2009 to 2012, I was getting to know someone that... that I'd met in America. And we were praying about having a future together. I mean, in 2012, after him considering coming over here, he told me that he didn't feel like we had a real future together. And to say that I felt that my life was turned upside down is an understatement. But during that time, I was assisting Mark Stanton, and in the day, the power of God and the way that he carried me, I can't even explain it. It was as if my heart wasn't broken, and he just gave me that strength to be able to assist Mark. But at night, I would feel that heartbreak, and I would cry, and the Lord gave me that time to grieve, but he comforted me in a way I can't even express or explain. And another example was when I was praying about going to Bible school. And there were lots of different fears that would arise up, including the fear of man, because I felt like people thought that I was in the centre of God's will in assisting Mark, and that if I moved on, it would be too soon. So I prayed, and it was around May time, I said, if you want me to go, then remind me before it's too late. And I remember it was about 3 days, I think, before the deadline, and I hadn't even been thinking about Bible school at all. And I was in my room, and all of a sudden I felt this deep inner grief over the decision that I'd made. And I knew that was the Holy Spirit's way of guiding me and of showing me that I should apply. And then everything fell into place after that. They accepted me. I got my visa. And one other example, and this is kind of Holy Spirit's way of, I would say, convicting, teaching, and revealing more of the heart of God all in one. It was when I was in New York, and I'd signed up to like a mobile phone deal, and I went back the next month to pay for that month's deal, and the man said that I couldn't get the deal that I'd signed up for. So I'm trying to insist that, well, actually... Oh, I signed up for this, so I should be able to get it. I must say, I wasn't viewing him in the best light, and I probably wasn't the friendliest at that moment in time. I wasn't outright unkind or mean, but I was just like, well, I should get this. I signed up for this, and I was there quite a long time trying to insist, and it was, we were kind of at stalemate there. I was like, no one wanted to move. And then, as I was speaking to him, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit just say to me, I love him. And everything just turned, like everything just, it was in me, just melted. And it was just like the Holy Spirit sort of convicting the way I was treating him, but just revealing more of God's heart for people. And it was just like, I went in there and I was viewing, and as I was having that interaction with him, I was viewing him as someone that had put me out, that this is an unjust situation. But it was like God was, through the Holy Spirit, just speaking that to me. It was like, I want you to see him as someone who I love and made in my image. And those are just three examples of where, like, the Holy Spirit's just really ministered to me.
Okay, so we're just winding up and coming into land. Is Francoise here this morning? She's not. Oh, she said she was going to say something. Oh, that saves us a bit of time. Oh, that's nothing against Francoise. That's just saying. That's just saying in general. In general. I mean, everyone takes time to say something. Yeah, I feel bad. Right. Let me just end by saying that the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Nigel. You may play it to Francois, and my apology. Yeah, just coming into land, the Holy Spirit is a person. And you can talk to him. Don't feel embarrassed about that. And he can talk to you. Also, the Holy Spirit is inside us for a reason, for a personal relationship. And Norman, you're like this bit. And also, to help us speak out the word of God boldly to our non-Christian family and friends. You don't have to do it on your own. He's an alongsider. He's a traveller with you. You can ask for help. He's called the helper, for goodness sake. He's called the helper. Sometimes we get so scared, don't we, when we're around our non-Christian friends and we all get all clammy. You can talk to them about God and the Holy Spirit will help you. That's what he's here for, to help you to do that. Wouldn't it be great to see our church grow because we're talking to our non-Christian family and friends because the Holy Spirit is helping us. You don't have to do it on your own. Okay, thanks. I think I've run over.
You've done well.
Oh, I've done well. Yeah. Well, there you go. Oh, I'll let you wind up then, Phil. Bless you all. Thanks for listening.